Everyone, good to see you tonight. There's our voice, and hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And the feel of fall is in the air. I love it. Love waking up in the morning and it being cold outside. And us bears like to get out early in the cold. But but anyway, it's I love fall time. I do, and looking forward to October and then. Of course, getting into holidays, hard to believe. Thanksgiving and Christmas is around the corner. And anyway, we ready or not, here it comes. So we just need to follow suit and march on through. And then, of course, the Christmas tree lot. I know Brother Brian is already thinking about that. Of course, they're down in Florida right now and finishing up their stay there and coming back on Saturday. But looking forward to those things, and hope you are too. It's so good to be here tonight. Number one, let's pray for Florida, and of course Georgia as well. And they said Hurricane Ian has touched ground and down in Florida, and they showed the direction of it and that it was going to go hit land and then go right through Orlando. I was thinking that, man, me and Christy Lilly, we were just down in Orlando this past summer. And so everybody is boarding up their windows and securing themselves and doing all kinds of things like that. I remember when we lived in Mississippi, we'd do the same thing. We'd hear about a hurricane coming and then we'd start preparing for that. But Let's pray. In fact, during our time of prayer tonight, I really want to lift up everyone in the path of the hurricane, and we'll pray out loud tonight and lift those people up in prayer. Listening to the Christian radio station this week, and really last week too, but you can just hear the concern in their voices. J93.3 is based out of Florida. I don't know if anybody listens to that channel or not. But they're based out of Florida, and so they're sharing verses and just to bring inspiration and comfort to everyone listening. But also they were sharing their vulnerabilities. You know, they just sharing about how that one of the broadcasters, his wife, is up in Maine right now trying to get home to Florida with him. And I'm thinking I'd stay in Maine if I was her, and he needs to get a ticket to Maine. But just everybody sharing how they feel and all. And does anybody have any family down in Florida? Mary, okay, yeah, yeah. So family and friends are down in Florida. Charisse, Lily's best friend, and her mom and dad, which we're great friends with, they're down in Florida as well. And so we'll just have a special time of prayer for them tonight. Everybody that's in line. I was invited a while back. Actually, me, Christy, and Lily was invited a while back to go to this Friday night's Braves game. And I want to tell you, this is going to be a Braves game. The next three games with the Mets starting on Friday night. Right now, we're tied for first place, and it's going to be electric. I'm so excited about it. That's if the hurricane don't get involved. And baseball, that's just a game. I'm more concerned with people and their lives tonight. But I just wanted to throw that in there. You know, I'm not going to pray and say, Lord, let it pass while I go to the game. But I will pray this, Lord, protect everybody in Florida, protect everybody in the pathway, and please let me go to the game. So, because I'm putting the most important first, right? So putting people first. And Brother Jamie Dickerson, Lauren's dad and mom, invited us to go a while back, and just really wanting to go to that game. So, but anyway, all right. Does anybody have anything, any kind of prayer requests or updates? I'm always missing my bulletin. I have them at home. I got a prayer list everywhere at home. Don't think that. I just on Wednesdays I kind of clean out my Bible from Sundays, and. Excuse me, and I leave my prayer bulletin right there on my desk with all the prayer requests on it and updates. So Let me just do this. Let me run through this, mention some folks, and then we'll open up the floor for you. Let's remember the children's home, our children's home. Again, they'll be coming home Saturday. Miss Joanne Rich, how's she doing on that leg? She's doing pretty good? Good, good. Okay. Excellent. Good, good. That's good to hear. So let's remember her, Jeff and Sharon. Of course, there's Miss Sharon and there's Brother Jeff. Wonderful. Perfect timing. It was good to see Brother Jeff Sunday night. Didn't expect to see him back so soon. But it just means that he's glad to have you back. And so you feeling better and better? Good. I love it when things go according to plan. Excellent. All right. Well, let's remember days ahead for you. And Miss Glenda, I meant to ask you, been wanting to ask you, how has your cataract surgery been? Everything good? You can got X-ray vision or what? I hope not. 2020 will be good. Okay.
I've had to get some other drops that I wanted to keep putting in, and they were extremely expensive.
Yeah.
And finally got them.
Good.
Yeah. I'm doing good. Yeah. But I mean, I can see fine. It's not affecting my vision.
Good.
I just want to make sure there's no swelling.
Yes.
So
good. Well, good, good, good. Absolutely, absolutely. Let's remember Brother Alan Clayton as he still struggles with whatever's going on with him. I know he has a hernia operation, and that's going to be on the 5th. He wasn't here Sunday night, and that's because he, whatever medications they're giving him, they're trying to regulate, they're trying to work together. Not sure if they should be by now. If not, I would be talking to the doctor, but he could barely talk. Amanda called him, and he could only like utter a couple words. And she's saying, where's Terry? Where's Terry at? And he said, up. It was all Brother Alan Clayton could say. Sunday morning, he was leading choir. Sunday night, he was going through that, meaning she was upstairs, or, you know, upstairs. I don't think they have it upstairs, but... Do they? Okay. So that's really, really, alarming, to say the least. So remember him. Again, his surgery is on the 5th for a hernia. Randy and Diane Ely, Chrissy Carden, her cousin Hannah, Don and Carla Rich. Townsend. What's his first name? Darren, thank you. I know Darren, they're back here now, right? Okay. I believe over in Peru he proposed, and he's engaged. But also I got him on schedule to come here. And so he'll be with us on the 3rd Sunday in October on a Sunday night. I sure will. Yeah, that's a good idea, Brother Jeff. And I forgot about that. So he's going to present his work. He's going to preach and hopefully play the banjo. And so looking forward to that. But let's remember all of them. And Richard Martin as well. Haven't heard or seen him in a while. Nobody's seen him in a while. Let's just keep reaching out to him and his situation. Miss Marianne and her foot. Did you drive in tonight? Okay.
They took the bandage off my foot. I got a sneaker on, and I only have a little patch on that.
Okay.
So I go back in 2 weeks, and hopefully by then.
All right. So.
I had to pay the doctor. No.
Had to pay the doctor, huh? Well, that's good to hear. That is so good to hear. You're a little bit closer to. Okay. Okay. Well, back at it. Back at it. All right. Miss C.C. Prestridge, Bobby and Nancy McClendon, Harold Dolphus, remember him. Sunday morning, he wasn't doing that good at all. I was kind of concerning with him. Just looked at me and said, please pray for me. And it really, he just didn't look, you know, like himself. Just looked like he was in pain or something. So let's remember Brother Harold. Brenda Rawls, Claudia Darby, Johnny and Pat Eccles. Of course, they've been back. They're doing good. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Brother Leonard's health. James and Shirley Townsend, the Dailies, the Ashworths. Rusty and Chris Watkins, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Melissa Slagle, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, Kevin Brook, and the rest of our shut-ins. Does anybody else have anything to mention or anybody at all? Brother Jeff. Oh.
They don't have anything other than they are out of power.
Okay.
They don't have a home, they're going to be out of power. The eye hit further south down near Fort Myers. And that made a lot of difference to where he's at.
Yeah. 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 That's where Charisse is close to is Naples, and we just got through mentioning that. We're actually going to pray here in just a moment. Our time of prayer, pray out loud for them down there. So thank you for mentioning that. Anybody else?
Connie
Teague's brother. Yeah. Connie Teague's brother passed away Saturday. I spoke to her the other day. And they're supposed to have a memorial up there tomorrow. But then they're going to plan something over here a little bit later in October. But let's remember her family. Anybody else?
I go November the 9th to see an eye surgeon with my right eye. And all of them took it to the specialist.
Okay. November 9th.
Unspoken.
Unspoken. Any other unspokens? You can raise your hand. The Lord knows all about it. And always unspokens out there. Anybody else? Alrighty then. Well, all that would, meet us in the altar, and we'll have a time of prayer together. We'll lift up, again, those in the path of the hurricane, and then these others that we mentioned tonight. Then we'll bring the lesson here shortly after. I'll lead us tonight. Heavenly Father, we come tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, this week the big subject on everybody's mind, at least it seems that way, is the hurricane, Hurricane Ian, and how that is affecting so many people. So much pre-planning has gone into this to protect themselves from this hurricane, this humongous storm. Lord, as I've been watching this on the news and people boarding up their windows and just preparing, Lord, for the hit of this hurricane, I've thought a whole lot spiritually about how that, Lord, we need to protect ourselves from the unseen hurricanes of this world. the battles we go through in our minds, the attacks of the devil, all of those kind of things, the flesh, the world. Help us prepare for those storms spiritually as well. But tonight we do lift up all of these in Florida. Lord, the hurricane has touched down and it's making its way through those cities and counties, Lord. Those many places in Florida. We all have loved ones and friends there. God, I just pray that you would protect everyone that's there. Lord, I pray that everyone would remain in their safe place. And God, that everyone would be calm and peaceful, although it's easier said than done when you're going through such a storm. But Lord, we do. We pray that no life will be taken from this, and that as Americans and Floridians and even Georgians, Lord, we'll just come together closer. Even because of the prep time, Georgia is working with Florida and during this time, and there's a partnership in this. And so, Lord, a lot of good can come out of this, as a lot of good comes out of storms, whether physical or spiritual. But, Father, I just pray that you'd protect everyone, the direction it goes, just protect those in the upcoming path of the storm. And Father, we just pray again just for your all-seeing eye, the true eye of the storm, to be with that storm. And Father, tonight we lift up our people here at Calvary, everything that's been mentioned from the unspokens to upcoming eye appointments. Lord, Miss Connie Teague and preparing for this memorial, her brother going home to heaven. Lord, so many different things. We have some that's recovering from surgery tonight that you've touched. And Lord, there's just so many things going on tonight. Some we know about, others we don't know about. And Lord, I'd be amiss if I didn't say that we need to pray for the children's home that's in Florida. They're on the east side of Florida, or the west side of Florida. But God, we still pray for their protection, that they will not be harmed or no bad weather come their way. If it is, Lord, let it be light. As I pray that everyone will be affected down there with light weather, although it's a hurricane. Tonight, Lord, we just pray that you'll meet with us in a special way. God, protect us, Lord, as we're gathered together, looking into your word tonight, worshiping in this local church. Protect us from anyone coming in from the outside causing any harm. And Father, I pray that by the time we leave, that we would be encouraged and challenged and changed even. Give us all traveling mercies home. Give us all of us a great night of rest and just a wonderful day tomorrow. Let us be able to rise up tomorrow with peace and joy in our hearts and spirits and just make the most out of tomorrow and each and every day. We love you tonight and we praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. If you're still with me, say amen tonight. Amen. Amen. You know, the key is prayer, but I'll tell you, sometimes if you had a long day and you bow down to pray, you got to be careful. You got to be careful not to nod off. My brother Ceylon says, if you're having trouble going to sleep at night, just try praying or read the Bible. And it's true. Those that study the Bible know that it requires mental work, but what a blessing it is to be able to do both. All right, this past Sunday morning and Sunday night, I about spiritual anger management, you know that, in the fellowship on Sunday night, I talked about part two of that, dealing with anger and good anger, and then there's bad anger, and we discussed how to deal with it, how to manage it in a spiritual basis. And at the end of the day, anger is an emotion. It's something we have to deal with. And we live our lives. Emotions come and go based upon what we're reacting with. Sometimes we have the emotion of anger that comes and goes, and different other kind of emotions at the same time. Well, tonight I want to look at a specific subject that's another kind of emotion that we deal with, and that is the emotion of anxiety. Anxiety, also known as worry. And so the title tonight is The Battle of Anxiety. The Battle of Anxiety. I don't care how spiritual a person portrays themselves to be, and I mean this, I promise you, they have their moments with anxiety as well. Doesn't matter how righteous, how spiritual someone is or appears to be, they have their quiet moments when they're alone and by themselves when they struggle. A lot of times it's told in leadership, don't ever show your vulnerabilities to your people. Do that in private. I disagree with that. I was raised over at, of course, when I first got saved, started going to Floyd Road, and I didn't see a Superman that preached every Sunday, Brother Berman. Now, there were times where he seemed like Superman, but I seen his vulnerabilities. When he was down, everybody knew it, and when he was up, everybody knew it. But you see, that I was able to relate to him through that, and he was able to relate to everyone else. His influence was great there at Floyd Road and beyond Floyd Road, because you see this great preacher, but yet he struggles with the same things that his people do. And tonight, I'm the same way. You've known me long enough to know, you've seen me when I've been up and I've been down, been sick and been well. And I'm the type, whenever I speak, I use my life experiences. I just feel like it helps to connect with the people on a very personal level. But I don't care how spiritual a person is or how they portray themselves, they have their moments as well. And the reason why I know this is because the Bible teaches about anxiety. And it gives us the plan on how to deal with it. And if the Bible didn't give us the plan on how to deal with anxiety or talk about it, then we wouldn't be dealing with it. And so God has given us the solution. That's how I know that everybody deals with it, is because it's in this book tonight. Now, as we said a moment ago, we'll say it again, but with Hurricane Ian approaching and has already made ground, a lot of people have been struggling with fear and anxiety and worry. And so I felt like it's very fitting tonight to talk about the subject of anxiety and worry. Excuse me. So for a few moments tonight, I want to mention just a few things, three or four things dealing with this subject of battling anxiety, or the battle of anxiety. Number one, the definition of anxiety. What does anxiety mean? What's the definition? It's a feeling of worry. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. I'm working in the yard some. It's a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. We have the tendency to have anxiety and we worry when we know there is something coming with an uncertain outcome. It may be an imminent event, something that's going to happen. We're just not sure how it's going to end up. And so, therefore, at times we struggle with anxiety. And again, it's a feeling of worry or nervousness or unease. I'm so sorry, y'all. Now, what's the definition of worry? Well, it's closely connected with anxiety. But the definition of worry is basically allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulty, or allowing one's mind to dwell on troubles. That's the definition of worry. And so basically anxiety and worry are one and the same. They're closely connected. I guess you could say they're cousins, or probably brothers and sisters more than cousins. And so the definition of anxiety is what we just looked at. And all of the uneasiness that goes along with it, the worry, the fear. And let me say this tonight. The Christian is commanded not to worry. We know that. But to trust in the Lord. But we still find time and opportunity to worry, don't we? We know it's commanded not to worry, but we still worry and we have anxiety at times. Now, what you find with chronic worriers and those with chronic anxiety, I say chronic because this is more than an occasional anxiety. This is something that's dealt with probably on a daily basis by a lot of people. But what you'll find with chronic worriers and these with chronic anxiety, they tend to make mountains out of molehills. If you've ever talked to someone or been around someone or in a relationship with someone who has chronic anxiety or worry, they definitely do that. Now, let me say that my dad is one of these, or at least he used to be. He's been in a home now for going on 8 years. And he used to be this way. I remember growing up, Dad just worrying, that sitting at the table and that knee doing this all the time, that knee just shaking, just worrying. He smoked cigarettes, and oh my goodness, the clouds of smoke in the kitchen, in the house. He was a warrior, but it was something that he had. It was something that he struggled with. He was a chronic worrier and had chronic anxiety. And not getting too deep into the doctoral part of this, the medicinal part of this, but a touch of that was handed down to me. A lot of this stuff can be genetic, handed down to depression and anxiety, different things like that. Even migraine headaches can be handed down, diabetes. So we know that from a health perspective, a lot of these things can be handed down. And so I would say that a part of that was handed down to me. I said it the other Sunday. I said, I have to work against my mind thinking negative. My mind, for some reason, I look at the negative. Sometimes it feels like there's a black cloud over my head, and I'm sharing with you my vulnerabilities and struggles tonight. I have to constantly work against that. I have to constantly use scripture to refute what my brain's telling me. And then you throw the devil inside of it in the equation, the flesh, and it's just a big war battle every single day. And so I have to constantly say, no, God's working in this situation. It's not just happen chance. My life's not over. Things will get better. And I'm not talking about now. I'm just saying, occasionally. And so it's something I have to work against. And those who suffer with chronic anxiety or just anxiety occasionally, you'll find that you have to counter those things. You have to refute or disprove your anxiety with the promises of God. That's the only way to do it other than medication, but I'm not a doctor, and so we'll leave that to the doctors. And so many times these chronic warriors and those with anxiety who have it in a very large scale, they tend to make mountains out of molehills, and they just can't help it. They have a condition. So this is a real thing tonight. Many of these people suffer physical difficulties because of their anxiety and worry, such as nervousness, sleeplessness, headaches, difficulty breathing, and nervous breakdowns even. I would say that my idea of a nervous breakdown is when you've tried everything you can try, every door is shut, it kind of feels like your world is caving in, It's almost a claustrophobic feeling. And with anxiety in the equation and worry, you just have this moment. It may last a couple minutes. It may last a couple days. God forbid it lasts a couple days. I've had some nervous breakdowns before, so I just call it a meltdown. I mean, you know, we have those at times. If you have any responsibility at all in your life and you want to do good at all of them, there will be times where you feel like that you're just going to break down. You can't give them more of yourself, but you want to. And so these are moments when anxiety is at its highest. These are moments when you don't see no way out. These are moments when you cannot produce anymore and do for others. And you just have yourself a moment. And so these are physical problems that follow anxiety and worry. And so these extreme bouts of anxiety and worry can stem from a life-altering event. Listen to this. Death of a loved one can spring off a person into dealing with anxiety and worry or depression. Some physical problem, some sickness a person has can send them into a bout of anxiety and worry, and then they start dealing with it for a long time. A failed relationship can send somebody off into this new life of anxiety and worry. Events in life can cause a level of anxiety and worry that lingers and dominates if we don't address it. You ever heard of, what is it called, post-traumatic stress syndrome? That's basically what it is. It's a branch of that. It's some traumatic event that takes place in your life that leaves you with these emotions, extreme emotions of anxiety and worry. Even when you don't want it to be there, it just happens. And so you have to deal with it. And so this evening, that's the definition of anxiety, a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And worry means allowing one's mind to dwell on difficulties or troubles. And again, we mentioned several notes to you about how we're commanded not to worry, so forth and so on. Number two tonight, I want us to look at dealing with anxiety. If you would, turn to Philippians chapter number 4. So what do you do when you have something coming up and you're unsure about the outcome? What do you do when you're living your life day by day and out of the clear blue you're experiencing breathing difficulty, headaches, loss of excitement to do anything that you usually do? What do you do with those things? How do you deal with those things? Well, if it gets too bad, call 911 or go to the doctor. But number two, on a spiritual level, there's some scriptures that we can hide in our heart, we can meditate on, that will certainly show us the path. And I said this before. I mentioned Philippians 4:6. I wrote this down earlier, and I want to mention this before we get into that. But dealing with anxiety, of course, counseling is great for anxiety. Therapy is great. And sometimes medication is needed, like I said earlier. Of course, we're not trying to diagnose anybody tonight, so we're not worried about that part of it. But we're going to take a look at the Bible, a biblical point of view dealing with anxiety. And let me say that the primary and best way to deal with it is from the Bible. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, notice what he says. He says, be careful for nothing. The word careful literally means anxiety. Be careful for nothing. Well, that seems okay. Be careful for nothing. Okay. I'm not going to worry about anything. I wish it worked that way. But you see, the Bible goes on and tells us to be careful for nothing, but replace it with something. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Three things in this verse I want to share with you. Number one, we have a problem. He says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That's the problem. This has to do with whatever care or concern or worry that we have currently. Again, all of those examples we mentioned, it could be a family problem, a relationship problem, it could be a personal problem, anything. It could be post-traumatic stress syndrome. He tells us, be careful for nothing. So we have a problem that we're to be careful for nothing with. All right, so there's a problem. There's a care that we have. Now, there's a second word, and that is the word method. Method. Okay, be careful for nothing, but he's telling us what to replace our care with and the method by which we're to do so. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. By prayer. Now, if a person says, I don't care anymore. You ever said that? I just don't care anymore. I've said it before. I probably said it too much. And I always pick it up and go back and do what I'm supposed to do, whatnot. But I just don't care anymore. I'm just not going to worry about this anymore. Well, that may last for a couple seconds or a couple minutes, but you always go back. So you have to replace it. You have to not only say, I'm not going to care anymore, but you got to replace it. You got to have something there to replace that care with, or to battle that care with. A lot of people, again, they choose drugs and alcohol. They have a care, they have a concern on their mind, something they're dealing with, and so they turn to the bottle to lift that load from their lives. Well, maybe for the night it might work, but the next day it's not going to work. Because not only do you still have your cares there, but you have the after effect of drinking alcohol and drugs and so forth and so on. So many different things people can have as their method of dealing with their cares. But Paul says prayer is the method. Conversation with God is the method. All right, so there's a problem, there's a method, but then there's content. Look at the word in verse 6, supplication. The word supplication here, it means needs. It means needs. Whatever need you may have. And so we're to be careful for nothing. That's our problem. We have a care. And then the method by which we use to be carefree is through prayer. And when we get down to pray, we're to tell God what we need. And hasn't He always promised that He will take care of our needs? And so dealing with anxiety, in short, verse number 6, so easy to read, so easy to quote, so hard to do, so very hard to do. But that's one verse. We got several verses we're going to look at, so I better move on. 1 Peter 5:7 says this. You can follow me along tonight in turning, or you can listen, however you learn best. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. That's probably one of the first Bible verses I learned when I got saved, is 1 Peter 5:7. And one thing that's so powerful about that verse is the word all. Now, the best thing about that verse is that Jesus cares. But the second best thing about that verse is He cares about all things in our life. And so if I'm battling with something, if I have a care, a concern, if I have a worry, if I'm getting nowhere with something and it's bothering me, well, that word care in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care, that qualifies a care, anxiety, worry. He says, cast all of it. If you're worried about making your mortgage, you give faithfully to the church, He's promised He'll open up windows of heaven to make sure you get your mortgage paid. He will take care of our needs. If that's your care, that's your concern. If you have physical problems, He said that we can cast those cares on Him as well, because He says, casting all. Now, I can't sit here and say that he always heals our physical problems, but he certainly cares about them, and he does have an avenue he wants us to take. He wants us to go to the doctor. He wants us to take our medicine. He wants us to eat right. He wants us to do those things. And if I'm praying to him and asking him to help me physically, and I'm not doing my part, I mean, he can come in and save the day and touch me and touch me and touch me, but there comes a point in time where Justin has to get healthy. And so my care could be health, it could be wealth, whatever it is. He says all of it needs to be casted on him, number one, because he loves us, but number two, because he cares about what we care about. So tonight, is there any area in your life that you're anxious about? Is there anything in your life that you're worrying about currently? If you are, then it's our duty, it's to our benefit to be able to cast those cares on the Lord. Now, again, easier said than done. That's why this takes practice. It takes practice to do. And so 1 Peter 5:7 deals with all care, includes anxiety and worry. Matthew 6, verse number 25 to 34, I'll just give this one to you. We got many more to go through. This is where God deals with caring after our needs. Not too long ago, we preached a message on this. We preached on the word yet, a few places in the Bible. And he talks about the birds and the fowls of the air and things like that. And it talks about how that they don't plant, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. In other words, they don't work, they don't make deposits in the bank, yet God feeds them. And he relates that to us. And we work, we make deposits, and there's times where we still have cares. And yet, he compares us to the creatures he takes care of that doesn't do no work, and he takes care of them. Are we much greater than they? Yes, we are. And we work, and we provide for ourselves, and God knows that, and he still takes care of us. And so, we're talking about dealing with anxiety. And so, when there's needs in our life, and we need help, God is there. He says that he will take care of us like he does and much more than the fowls of the air or the birds. Now, Psalm 37. I'm going to turn to Psalm 37 for a moment. One of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms. Listen to this. I was here on a Wednesday night not long ago speaking on this. Psalm 37, notice if you would in verse number 2. He says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. He goes on and on and talks about those who fret and do evil, how they're going to be soon cut down. But the righteous shall inherit, or the meek shall inherit the earth. Verse number 2, he tells us to trust. He tells us to trust. In David writing this psalm, he was hot. He was mad. He was angry. He was blazing. And in verse 1 tells us, David's speaking to, don't do what I did. He says, don't burn on the inside. So fret not thyself because of evildoers. And so he gets into what we should be doing. Trust, verse number 2. We should be trusting. Trust in the Lord and do good. Let me say this tonight. If you are experiencing anxiety and worry or even depression, it does not mean that you're not trusting in God. Okay? Sometimes with our greatest endeavors to trust, we still have our problems. And sometimes that, it's very telling when that happens, because we may need, again, to seek a doctor for that. But just because you're struggling with anxiety and worry and maybe even depression does not mean you're not trusting. It means you're battling. You're battling. Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. David says part of this equation in the Christian life to getting rid of anger and anxiety and all the rest of it is to trust in the Lord. He says, trust and obey. Trust in the Lord and do good. Love what the song says. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. He says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So in essence, he's saying, trust in the Lord, do what you're supposed to do, and God will take care of you. That's what he's saying. So trust. And then there's the word delight in verse number four, delight. I got my words covered up with markers. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The word delight here, it basically means to satisfy yourself with. Another definition is that of pliability, being pliable, being loose, being free for whatever God wants to do in your life. But truly the definition would be to find satisfaction in Jesus. Psalms 23 and verse 1, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now you tell me where he's at mentally and where he's at in his heart saying a statement like that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Was everything perfect in David's life in Psalm 23 verse 1? No. He talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death and having been gone through that and to tell about it and everything else he might have been going through. But the place that David was at in Psalm 23 verse 1, he was at a place of contentment, come what may. He was at a place of abiding, knowing who he draws his strength from. I mean, think about it. Saul throwing javelins and, you know, and then on one occasion he went to the land of the Philistines and joined their platoon, so to speak, running from Saul. And so David has been through it all, and yet at the end of the day he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so here he says, do what I did. Delight yourself in the Lord. Find satisfaction with him. He's the one who has the power to give. He's the one who has the mind. He's the one who can settle the mind. There's a book out. It's been out for a long time. I believe the author is Philip Keller, A Shepherd's View of Psalm 23. And there's a certain part in there where Keller is talking about how a shepherd leads his sheep. And he says that There's a point where these sheep, these bugs and gnats and whatever that flies around in the air tries to bed into the sheep's fur, that sometimes it gets embedded in their heads, like their fur on their heads. Is that what it's called? Fur, right? Whatever. And so it drives them crazy. It drives them crazy. He said that those sheep would find a tree and just get their heads against that tree and just, you know, trying to just settle down all of the irritation of the insects, just trying to embed in their hair, in their fur. And so he also said that a good shepherd will have some kind of solvent, some kind of medicine that could be poured upon the head of those sheep, and it would have a calming effect on these sheep. And man, the first time I read that, Brother Jeff, it made me so excited. It made me excited because I was thinking about our shepherd who anoints our head with oil. And because of that, our cup runneth over. And then we begin to realize goodness and mercy does follow us all the days of our life. And so this is the good shepherd tonight. And in a physical shepherd, he knows his sheep, he leads his sheep, but also he knows when his sheep need a touch mentally. And tonight it's the same thing with the Lord. That's what he wants to do for us. And because he can do that, he can calm our fears, because he knows how to calm our minds and settle our hearts, we need to find satisfaction in him and be like David. In the midst of Hurricane Ian, in the midst of this pandemic, at least the after effects of the pandemic, prices going up, everything taking place, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my peace, he's my contentment. And this is one great way how you deal with anxiety. And again, it's practice. It's practice. Every day counts. And then there's the word in verse number 5, commit. Verse number 5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The words, commit thy way unto the Lord, it means to roll off unto the Lord. It means to basically allow Jesus to deal with the details. If you're like me, I'm a detail-minded person. When I start thinking about things, I'm thinking about the details. And the older I get, though, I will say that I've learned how to be satisfied when all the details aren't completed or aren't there. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but in other words, everything is not going to be perfect all the time. And if I'm going to live life and enjoy life, I've got to realize that. And at my age, at 40 years old, I've learned and learning to realize that it's not always going to be perfect. Everything's not always going to be on time and happen perfectly. But God, we're to trust him with the details. Trust him when you can't figure out the pieces of the puzzle. When you're trying to make sense out of your life and what's taking place, and there's just something that doesn't fit, there's a missing piece, and you're racking your brain, commit your way to the Lord. Roll it off of your shoulders and on him. Last time I taught this from Psalm 37, I gave a bowling illustration. And talked about it at the bowling alley, how you'll get that bowling ball. Anybody here like bowling? Used to bowl? Used to? Man, I used to grab that thing in my forearm right here. I put my two fingers in the hole, but in my forearm, I used to get that ball and sling it like that. That thing would spin. Of course, me and some buddies used to go back in the day, and they got all crazy and started throwing them like baseballs down there. Get you kicked out of a bowling alley. But, and think about it, in like manner, you have your problem, you have your anxiety, whatever it is, and he tells us to commit our way to the Lord, to roll it off onto him. Just picture the next time you have a problem, a worry, get in your hallway somewhere, like a bowling lane, and you got that care, you got that concern, say, not today, devil, not today, and roll it on the Lord. I'm a visual guy. I'm a visual kind of person. I visualize everything. I do. And so when I'm dealing with in my Christian life, I visualize it. I got something coming on me. I'm picking a bowling ball. I'm picking what color bowling ball it's going to be. And I'm rolling that thing on the Lord. Because I've learned that I can't deal with it myself. I need his help. Commit to the Lord. Roll it off of you and on him. That's why he's there. And then in verse number 7, after you've done that, after you went bowling spiritually, verse 7, you rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So he says rest in the Lord, which means basically to be dumb. That's what the Bible dictionary says. It says to be dumb. It means to cease. But it also means to be cut down. Let me give you an illustration of what happened this morning. I had a tree at the house where I mean, it's the deadest tree I've ever seen. I promise you that. It was just, it's been dead since the day we moved in. We've been living there about 4 years, right at it. This is the fourth Halloween we've been here at our house because we moved in around that time. And I knew Hurricane Ian was coming. I knew we'd probably get some winds. And so I called Larry Bennett. And this was a couple of weeks ago. I said, "Brother Larry, I said, you think you can help me with this tree?" And he said, "Oh, yeah. Well, we'll come over there. We'll knock it down. We'll get it down." Long story short, early this morning, Larry and LC show up. And so we went out in the back. I've already been out there. Right, got back to take Lily to school. I had this big old dog chain that I chained up our dog with to the backyard. And I was swinging it, trying to get as high as I could in the tree and tie a knot in it and pull the knot, let it fasten so that, you know, two of us could pull it while Larry's cutting it. So he gets to cutting that tree, and me and LC is pulling on this rope. And Larry stops for a moment. I guess evidently he hadn't changed the chain out in his chainsaw, so it was kind of dull, and he was just kind of looking at it. And me and LC, we're still pulling. And I want you to know that tree came down by me and LC pulling, and it came down at the stump, not where he was cutting at, which meant that that thing was ready to come down. It was ready to come down. And then after that, my refrigerator went out. So been a fun day today. You know, on the phone with, you know, Sears and all that kind of stuff. And so the tree was ready to come down, all right? Again, the other definition of the word rest in the Lord, it means to be cut down. It means to be dumb. It means to cease. And I was thinking about this morning when that tree came down. When that tree came down, it was over. I mean, it was done. It wasn't standing up anymore. It wasn't in the storm anymore of any kind since the time we've been living there. Wasn't going to face any storm that's coming because it's cut down. And in like manner tonight, when we rest in the Lord, we become like that tree. When we truly rest, when we truly roll our burden on Him, when we truly commit and delight and trust Him, it's just like an old tree that comes down. It's over. It's done. It's good for firewood. And you burn it up. In like manner is this subject of anxiety tonight and worry. We just need to cut it down. Just give it to the Lord and allow Him to use it for firewood. That's the best thing. All right. Let me mention something else and we'll bring it to a close here in just a moment. And so we're talking about now, our point number two is dealing with anxiety. Dealing with anxiety. And Scripture is the best way to deal with anxiety. Let me just give this one to you. Luke 10, verse 38 through 42 is the account of Martha and Mary. Everybody knows that one well, don't you? What did Martha do? She was busy serving, wasn't she? But she was serving to a point where the Bible says that she was cumbered about with much serving. Meaning she was being drugged. She allowed herself in the state of mind to be pulled from this area to that area. She couldn't just give it up. Now, she was serving Jesus. Someone said one time, not long ago, commenting on that story, and Jesus never asked to be served. And I thought, man, that's pretty profound. This was something Mary took upon herself. Jesus never said, "Hey, I'm coming that way around 7. Could you have me some pot roast ready? You know, some potatoes?" He never asked that. Not to my knowledge, he didn't. And so, which leads me to believe, sometimes we take upon ourselves and hadn't even asked God about it. And Martha, though, having this good gesture, wanting to serve the Lord in this capacity, she began to get angry. She was fretting. And she actually told Jesus, "Tell Mary to get up and help me." Who does she think she is talking to the Lord like that, who never asked for supper to begin with? I mean, He fasted 40 days in the wilderness. He can go one more night. But the lesson here is that Mary knew something about God's Word that Martha didn't learn yet. And that was, she received her strength from God's Word. She was able to serve because of God's Word. She was able to do what she needed to do and to be responsible with her responsibilities in life because she found a place to sit and listen to Jesus. Same thing we're teaching tonight, how God's Word is how we deal with life. It's always has been and always will be. A few other verses quickly. Philippians 4:7 says that peace will guard our hearts and minds. Philippians 4:8, to overcome worry and anxiety, we must control our thoughts. So that particular verse is telling us to think good things. You see, whenever I'm dealing with my thought life, and my thought life is telling me the worst thing possible is going to happen today, Justin, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes these are these thoughts I have, and I have to fight against them. Oh, you're going to get a call today, Justin, and Christy and Lily's gotten a car wreck. It's going to be fatal. I mean, you know, I have to combat that. I can't allow that to happen every day of my life. And so what I do is I think good things, you know. I think good things. Well, number one, it could happen. But number two, I'm thinking good things. And it's not going to happen. Am I the only one who ever deal with that in here? Okay. So we have to think of good things. Philippians 4:8. Romans 8:28 tells us God is using all things for His glory and our good. Psalm 55:6 through 8 tells us, sometimes we want to run or flee from our problems, but God teaches us to stay put and trust Him through our problems. Proverbs 3:5 and 6 tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to seek His will. And so that's how we deal with anxiety, is by using and appropriating God's Word. And we already looked at the definition of anxiety. And then lastly, in 60 seconds, we'll be through. Determination and anxiety. We have to be determined that we want to get better. It will take time and determination. Some may have to go to the doctor, but with the doctor, the Bible, the Lord, and faith to believe, we will get better. God wants us to get better. And anybody who's dealing with anxiety, God wants you to get better. I'm going to leave you with this verse. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. Listen, these are the epistles of John. It's 3 John chapter 1 verse 2. Listen to this. This is another verse that got me back on my road to health, especially after I received the news of the diabetes. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That tells me God doesn't only want me to prosper spiritually, but He wants me to prosper physically. He wants me to be in the best health that I can be in. He doesn't want me to struggle with anxiety. He doesn't want you to struggle with anxiety. That therefore, I'm not going to accept it. I'm always going to fight against it. Depression, any kind of emotion you may feel that's negative, Jesus doesn't want you dealing with it. He doesn't want you struggling with it. So always, always choose to stay in the fight. We have too many people that's committing suicide, throwing in the towel and leaving this earth. And I do not believe that's the will of God to happen. I do believe that God has called us to be soldiers and called us to be present in person and in mind. And along with that, we just always need to have a self-awareness about ourselves so that we can live a life that's pleasing to Him and enjoy life. That's the lesson tonight, just dealing with anxiety and worry. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You, Lord. I pray tonight, if anyone's struggling with this, anybody watching, I know sometimes it can be taxing on the flesh to sit and listen to subjects like this, but it's true. Everybody deals with anxiety at some point, sometime or the other. Help us tonight to trust in You. If we need to go to the doctor and do it that way, help us do that. But just help us, Lord, to take care of the whole person tonight. Not just the spirit and abandon the health, but the spirit and the health. We love you tonight. Keep everybody safe in, who's in line with the storm, Hurricane Ian. And we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If nobody has anything, you're at liberty to go. Everybody have a great night.